Welcome in to the season ending, week 13 ending, and playoff beginning episode of the League of Ordinary Gentlemen. We're excited. We have 3 weeks left of playoff fantasy football left. So we'll welcome in my co-hosts, Doug Appleby, Sean Guida, and Zeke Lawless. How's everybody doing today?
What it is.
What's up, Doug?
Just here to pour one out for the green team.
Oh, man. All right, we're just gonna.
I wondered how long. I genuinely wondered how long it was gonna take. Like when we were sitting here talking beforehand, I'm thinking, no one had said anything yet up to this point, so I wondered what was gonna happen and how long it would take. And I think you got 9 seconds in, so
not too far.
So that's three more than I thought, Doug. Good job.
We're just gonna go ahead and address this for all you listeners out there. We had an owner got evidently disgruntled with the commissionership that I put forward.
Half the commissionership.
Well, the commissionership that I put forward. And decided to tank the last 2 weeks, dropped his entire team, picked up guys like Tommy Bohannon and Mark Sanchez. But I will say, jokes on him, Mark Sanchez played. And just tried to sabotage the whole thing. So we are down one owner in the league. So I will say, as we go to all you people who listen that are not in our league, if anybody listens that's not in our league, keep going, keep trying. I'm in another league that literally somebody outside the playoffs. I have James Conner. He outbid me for Jalen Samuel this morning. So keep playing, make it interesting. If you can't win or can't get in the playoffs, it doesn't mean you can't spoil it for somebody else. And that's a fun part about fantasy football is playing spoilers. So kudos and high five and here's a beer for you for all you people that decide to keep playing even though you're out of the playoffs.
Well, the good thing about this is all of us have children, so we're used to when you take something away from them just throwing a tantrum. So it was something we were used to.
I'm gonna leave that. So
he actually never texted me back after I reached out to him too.
It's okay. It just is, but it was he had bad luck, and he was the first champion we ever had in the league. So I really thought he was gonna be out next year anyway, because he was moving away. But either way, keep playing. Don't play the sore loser. If you don't agree with something going on in your league, bring it up, make a statement, and see if you can make it change, because change is always for the better. Try to make your league better, and that's something that we've always strived to do. So all those people that continue playing, hats off to you. But let's jump right into week 13 recaps, guys, because this week really depended, a lot of people depended on, or there was competition going into making the playoffs here. So the guys that made it, that were fighting to make the playoffs, were Sean and his Blessem team. Also, who else was fighting? Khalil Mack and the guys were fighting for the playoff spot. And was that the only two? I think so.
Yeah, that was really it.
Yeah, I think those are the only two guys that were really fighting for the playoff. Coming to the standings, Khalil Mack did not have the tiebreaker, which is head-to-head. So they both...
And Ezekiel 25.
Well, Ezekiel...
No, I'm sorry. They were ahead.
They had a game. Now, I will say, if Ezekiel 25 would have... If Ezekiel 25 would have lost and Blessem and Khalil Mack and those guys win, it goes to a point scored, and that would have left Blessem in the cold. But because all three of them lose, the only ones that get left out of the playoffs, Khalil Mack and those guys, going against now newly named pending owners. But hey, because you're not playing anybody, Billy, congratulations. You've been voted. You get the toilet next year. Just wanted to let you know that. So Buckley, here for the beer, gets to take it off of his mantle next year and put it forward. But let's start looking into the scores and what happened this week. I'll go quickly into Markelle Fultz, hashtag trust the process, and Zeke taking on the pending owners team. They won 97.3 to 30.1. It's done. There's nothing to cover there. Even though I was surprised by a couple things with trust the process. Tyreek Hill only gets one catch in this game. Goes for 50 yards, gets one catch. Juju Smith-Schuster 4.9. This is a team to watch out for in the playoffs, and we'll get to that as we get to the preview section. We'll talk about what guys we think will be more boom or bust.
Just real quick on my team, over the last couple of days, we visited all the members of my roster visited 10 different physicians, and it turns out they all have thoracic outlet syndrome. So that's what's going on with the ups and downs of my team right now.
Okay.
Hey, I'd like to point something out. I think it speaks well of our league, actually. So outside of the one team, the people who didn't qualify for the playoffs, we were fighting at 5-7. I mean, that's not a – most times you see it at like 3-10. You know, the loogie, the bottom two, bottom four are going to be pretty rough. But a 5-7, you're, you know, like one bad call away from winning and going 500 and still missing the playoffs. That's just not a thing that happens a lot of fantasy football leagues. So.
No, for sure. And I will say, I'm going to put out one thing, something that I brought out last week. I want to get your guys' thoughts on it before we go any further. Just something for next year. And if you're listening outside of the league, hit us up on Twitter at TLOOG1, at TLOOG1. Give us your opinion on this. So we have a 10-team league. 8 teams make the playoffs. That's just how we set it up. We got rid of divisions. It's just stack ranked 8 teams because we have what we call a dead-ass last bowl. They are in contention for the loogie. If you get last place, you have a toilet trophy that was donated to our league by Zeke Lawless, owner of hashtag trust the process.
After he broke the other trophy.
After he broke the other trophy, either one.
Well, I had good intentions on that one.
But it has to be.
It's a major upgrade.
Yeah, the trophy has to be displayed prominently for the full year outside of the league. But so what I'm thinking is next year we go with a 12-week season. Week 13 starts the playoffs, but top 6 teams get a bye. So the top 6 teams get a bye in week 13. Teams 7, 8, 9, and 10 are seeded. So 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9. And they have a play-in, like wild card game, to get into the 8-team playoff that would start in week 14, like right now. But even at the very end, if your team's 1-12, you still have a chance to make the playoffs. I think everybody plays to the end. If you win the loogie, it is that much more embarrassing, even though your team was good. I think it sounds like a wonderful idea. I thought it was genius. I wanted to put it out to you guys and see what you thought.
My only thought is you just hate to lose week 13 for six of the 10 teams in your league.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thing. And I don't even know. We kind of talked about this earlier, but I don't know if ESPN is customizable enough to even do it.
I'm pretty sure you can do it. We can, as a commissioner, you can move things forward and backwards and all that kind of stuff too. And I mean, everybody likes a bye week though. Everybody likes that week they don't have to worry about. And I don't know. I think it'd be fun because it's always fun having that bye week and a little bit of bragging rights. I just think it keeps everybody involved long term. Obviously, yeah. Zeke and Sean don't have anything to say about it.
I told you earlier, I'm kind of like, eh. I can see why it's good, but.
Yeah, like I just think if someone's going to go scorched earth, they're going to go scorched earth regardless of the setup, and there's just nothing really you can do about it, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We can, you know, that's up to talk about for next year. So let's get back into it. Let's go into the two games now that made a difference really this week, because everything else, seeding stayed the exact same. Khalil Mack and those guys taking on, I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. So this is Doug taking on Bill.
A squeaker.
Yes, it was. It came down to the very end. Bill needed five more points out of Vance McDonald on Monday night and could not get it done. He gets 2.8 out of Vance McDonald as he goes down 114.4 to 118.9. Guys, I'm starting to think that Deshaun Watson, while he's a great real deal quarterback, I'm starting to think that he might not be a good viable starter especially in a 10-team football league. I think there might be better guys out there, just that guys are going to put up points. It seems like they kind of take their foot off the gas to kick a lot of field goals. But Mike Ingram is sliding down the pack. Philip Lindsay is still the, you know, a premier running back, but he just kind of meddles along the rest of the way. Gets a little bit out of Cortland Sutton, who will probably do better this week. But Patrick Mahomes, I read this before. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. I read something that he has scored 64 points more than the second quarterback in fantasy football league standard. Standard PPR scoring. Where even at running back and wide receiver is less than half that. So huge pickup. Devontae Adams, Chris Godwin on Doug's team. That's an interesting turn. And then Spencer Ware goes for 11.
Yeah, with Djax and Howard out.
Yeah. So with that being said, do you think does Cameron Brake get a bump with OJ Howard out, or are you still kind of, what do you think about that?
No, I don't think. I mean, he obviously gets a little bit of a bump, but in his career, anytime Howard's been out, he never gets really any more than like 3 to 5 targets. So if he doesn't score a touchdown from inside the 10-yard line, then he's basically a waste on your team. So one interesting thing to note, I was looking at it today, what you said about Mahomes outscoring everybody else by like 64 points. So in our league, he has 382 fantasy points on the season.
Mm-hmm.
Second place is Ben Roethlisberger, who's been on my bench all year.
Oh, imagine
312
that.
Points. And third is Gurley with 298.
That is crazy.
Yeah, so Mahomes has outscored the next highest scoring guy by almost 100 points.
That Jeez. Is absolutely crazy. And you know that quarterbacks are going to score points.
But right, right.
Patrick Mahomes has been a difference maker this year. And what round did you draft him in?
Like, yeah, it was pretty late.
Late for sure.
Yeah.
So definitely.
That was one of those ones that when I took him, everyone was like, oh no.
Yeah. So good. You knew he was just
kind of
out.
Yeah, he kind of slid under the radar. I didn't realize Ben was that high.
Yeah, a couple things though that are interesting. Well, Ben's had a couple of huge games, but something that would interest me. One, do you keep Patrick Mahomes going into next year? I know that he's gonna be a that kind of guy, but there's got to be some kind of regression next year, you think, coming maybe? Or do you think he's just new style quarterback?
I think new style quarterback, and I mean, with them losing Kareem Hunt, they're not going to have much of a running game to speak of going forward, so they're going to have to throw the ball.
Lev Bell?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they'll spend that kind of money on him, but...
Depends on Andy Reid, I guess.
Yeah.
So...
this one all came down to if Sean lost and Billy lost, then Billy was out. If Sean lost and Billy won, then Billy was in.
Yeah.
So, and I early in the week, I had given some consideration to playoff positional seeding because I didn't want to get stuck playing Tim in the semifinals. But then I kind of decided that would be pretty shisty to Sean. And so I just went through with playing my guys.
I've also been listening to a lot of other podcasts.
I appreciate the integrity.
This has actually been coming up a lot in a lot of other podcasts, a lot of other leagues, and on Twitter and things like that. Guys like Evan Silva. If any of you guys listen to Fantasy Footballers podcast, they get this question a lot. They're like, "Hey, these guys are sitting their bench, they're sitting everybody on their bench for seeding to try to lose a game or anything like that." And I mean, kind of, you know, where do they stand on it? And everybody's come to the conclusion that it's gamesmanship. They can see where it's kind of like, man, come on. But they kind of fall in. If it's not against the rules, it's not against the rules. Now, I run on the line. Like, I think it's kind of shady, especially in that situation where it's going to get somebody in the playoffs or knock somebody out of the playoffs. So I think it's more of a, you should play, you. As I think it was what Tony Dunn, no, Herm Edwards said, you play to win the game. So I'm more of a, you play your guys. But Zeke, you've been quiet. What do you feel like on that?
I'm all about strategy. No, I'm all about strategy. So, you know, as long as it's not like the, you know, as long as people aren't doing the saboteur type stuff that we discussed at the beginning of the podcast, yeah. I mean, If you're in a league that you're, paying money for, you're still trying to win money. Mm-hmm. It's not theoretical bragging rights. I mean, it's 2018. We've been playing fantasy for 20 years now. So.
Oh my gosh. I've been playing for so many years.
Just just for the sake of winning, who cares? But, you know, to win some money, that's great. So if you're going to tank and you're going to be strategic all while still trying to win money, I don't really care, to be honest with you. It looks kind of weird. I get that. But at the same time, if you're if the end game is still I'm going to win the money, then by all means, go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'll be honest. Had I been able to guarantee you what my playoff seeding would have been, but because our league is head-to-head and there's all these weird, like, round robins, I couldn't really even know. You know what I mean? But if it was a situation where, like, if I win, I play Tim. If I lose, I play somebody else. And losing gave me the better path to the playoffs and I could guarantee it, then I think it's totally fine. But in my situation, I just felt like, well, I could tank and lose this game and then that may put Sean out of the playoffs, and I may not even get the playoff seeding that I want anyways. You know what I mean? So I was like, let's just let it play out.
No, I mean, I think you're right. I think if it makes a difference in somebody else making the playoffs, like if you stopping, you could have easily said, okay, Bill, I'm going to let you win, and Sean's going to be out either way. Yeah. That would have been bad. I mean, if there's no collusion, it's just tough. I just think you play to win the game. I want the higher seed. I want to be there for that. But we obviously know how Sean feels about it because it would have knocked him out of the playoffs. That hadn't happened.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would have been thrilled, but.
Yeah, so, but still, if you had won your matchup last week, you would have been in regardless of what happened. You know what I mean?
True. Look into, he didn't.
Couldn't believe that, so, by the way.
We'll get into this.
Here's all you need to know. The last 2 weeks, I should have started Baker Mayfield over Drew Brees and Michael Thomas together.
Yeah.
That tells you everything.
And that just tells me that this week, Michael Thomas and Drew Brees are going to be in for a smash spot. But we'll get into that. Sean loses Kareem Hunt on just a – God, I wish guys would stop beating up on women.
Yeah, for real.
Good grief. And now there's two other instances that are, who knows if it's more of that Me Too movement or whatever. So, but he gets suspended by the league. He's subsequently dropped by Kansas City. So Sean loses that player who is his RB1, his first round draft pick who he drafted all year long. So he goes in with LeSean McCoy and Peyton Barber as his running backs, puts up 85.7 points because Drew Brees gets 7. And Michael Thomas gets 4 in a 13-10 loss to Dallas, which nobody saw coming. Sean's highest scorer was Justin Tucker with 17. And for you folks who don't follow football, Justin Tucker's a kicker. so it shouldn't happen. I will say falling like Sean Stone does not necessarily get a huge week with only 15 out of Aaron Rodgers. His big play is Christian McCaffrey because it always is. Tyler Lockett goes for 16 and he scores 93.7, but they both skirt into the, well, Sean skirts into the playoffs, falling like Sean Stone gets the fourth seed going into week one of the playoffs. So those are the two games that really mattered for everything else. So we'll zoom through the other two. We'll get to here for the beer taking on the deplorables. This was a strictly seeding game. If here for the beer wins, the deplorables fall to the three seed. I think Doug, you would have jumped to the one seed in that situation because I think you had the head-to-head, right? No. Sorry. Biscuit had the head-to-head, so he would have jumped to the one seed.
He had the head-to-head over me.
So Joe, the newcomer, would have jumped to the head-to-head, would have jumped to the head-to-head to first place. But deplorables eke this one out on Monday night as the Redskins defense tanks to -2. And the Eagles finally get a productive game. So 98.8-87. I read games, 18 points out of Cam Newton and 30 points out of Todd Gurley, who is going to be an interesting thought down the stretch. But here for the beer goes into the sixth playoff spot. I think they take on, are you facing you this week, Doug? Or is that? Yeah, I think you're here for the beer. You got here for the beer this week, and Ezekiel.
I have Ezekiel. Yeah,
so either way, we'll get into that. He gets Jared Goff on an off week and gets a couple things, but this is a dangerous team. I think going into the playoffs, which we'll get more into. And then last but not least, Ezekiel 25:17 gets housed by the surging Biscuits, 159.1 to 91.6. The Biscuits have a 7-game winning streak going on right now. And I'm just starting to put it together, but they lose James Conner, and they have to replace him with a Jalen Samuel, who is going to split time per news with Stephen Ridley. Yeah, so
I believe it's Stevion.
Yeah, Steve, whatever it is. But I will say,
Esteban Ridley.
Yeah, Esteban Ridley. He gets 28 points out of Travis Kelce. I had Kelce in one league. 168 yards and 2 touchdowns out of Travis Kelce in the Kansas City defense. So we know who gets the big jump with Kareem Hunt being on the outs.
Almost like I had a player that could have maybe kept some of those touches away from him if he didn't touch other people instead.
Sorry. Travis Kelce actually won me the week in another league. So, and Keenan Allen kind of coming out of the shadows, back half player. He has just turned it on. That's another scary team. I think those are going to be the two teams to watch as Ezekiel 25:17 is disappointed by Tevin Coleman and Matt Breida. I think he's going to have a tough week this week. So that is what happened last week. So we'll talk real quick about seeding into the playoffs before we get in the Browns corner. Your number one seed Deplorables is taking on your number 8 seed Blessem. Your number 2 seed Biscuit in Your Pants is taking on your number 7 seed Here for the Beer. That is going to be the game of the week, I believe. Number 3 seed, I'm sorry, Miss Jackson, is taking on your number 6 seed Ezekiel 25:17. Number 4 seed is taking on Falling Like Sean Stone is taking on the number 5 team Markel Fultz, Trust the Process. And then the consolation ladder doesn't matter because there's only one owner in it. Congratulations, Bill Baker of Khalil Mack and those guys. You have officially won the Loogie. It's been voted, and it's yours. So you get that to display in your new apartment this next year.
To publicly state that I feel kind of iffy about that.
Well, I'm not keeping it in my house, so... And he's last in the league right now. So if anybody else wants to keep it, you're more than welcome. We have any takers?
No, I agree with it.
No takers. So anybody have anything for Browns Corner? Sean, I know you probably got something.
Yeah, sorry. I'm handling a neighborhood discrepancy right now. So I need to be done with that. But,
yes,
you know, our dogs barked
today. Oh, well, watch out. Well, that's not – well, hopefully our dogs will bark on Sunday. Zeke, do you have anything for Browns Corner?
I mean, so full disclosure, Sean and I talked briefly yesterday in person. I would like to rename this segment. I know it's fantasy and NFL related. I'd like to change the name to, you know, Cleveland Corner, Columbus Corner, Northeast Ohio Corner, and really just talk about why Cleveland is, you know, not only going to win the AFC championship, but also why Ohio State will be fine and why Urban Meyer should be enshrined with the Saints in heaven. So just go for it, boys. Take it away.
I can cover all of those things. So here's what I'll say about the Browns. Browns played a tough opponent. I think Houston Texans are legit and they're for real. They've won 9 straight games now, and it hasn't been all of them haven't been against terrible teams. Now, they had an easy run with some pretty, moderately easy schedule, but they are tight in all facets of the game. They're healthy. This is what that team should have looked like with a healthy J.J. Watt and Clowney. Their linebackers are solid. And when Deshaun Watson has both of his knees intact, this is what you're going to get. So I think that Houston has kind of a chance to get into the AFC championship, maybe with Kansas City, if the seeding works out that way, which I don't know if they will. But I do want to say I was pleased to see Baker Mayfield and Triple G have a new game plan when they came out. I think they were down 28-7. They came firing in the third quarter. Baker threw for 350 yards in the second half. And it wasn't all just against cover two, like little dinks and dunks. He threw the ball deep, and he probably should have had more if not for a holding call that absolutely made that play happen for a long touchdown. But then the second, Antonio Callaway getting the ball stripped at the two-yard line was just – that was rough.
For those that are playing the drinking game at home, Sean did accuse the refs of something, so time to take a shot.
That was just a boneheaded play by Antonio Callaway. Like,
I actually said the refs did a good job on that play, but go ahead, Doug. Sorry.
So I will take three shots myself because I was wrong.
Yeah. No, it was a legitimate hold that was called, and the hold made the play. So there was a hold that was called that wasn't, but
that was go ahead, Doug. The worst stream of events I'd ever seen.
It's a rough thing.
So my concern against with Baker all year has just been the matchups. Like I've said to you and other people, I just want to see him perform in these matchups against legit like playoff caliber defenses, which the Texans are, the Steelers can be at times, the Ravens are. Like, those are the teams you want – the Chargers are – those are the teams you want to see him come out and perform against. Obviously, he looked great against the Bengals. He looked great against the Falcons. But those – both of those teams are just decimated by injury, especially in their secondary. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, especially the second Baltimore game, like, which Baker Mayfield shows up in that game. Do we get the Baker Mayfield that – you know, we saw against Atlanta and the Bengals, or do we get the first half Baker Mayfield against the Houston Texans? Because they're going to need him to throw for yards and be efficient in the red zone and not turn it over if they're going to get to have an outside chance at the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think playoffs are – that's a tough road to hoe. They have four games that are absolutely winnable. The Panthers are reeling right now. They just lost Greg Olsen again. However, Cam Newton was totally right about Kelvin Benjamin, who was released and cleared waivers, by the way. Absolutely nuts. Never saw that coming.
He's terrible. And fat.
He is. And fat, yeah. I think the Panthers are very beatable, not just because of their team in general and their coaching. They fired some coaches. But also, they're a terrible road team. They're just not good on the road. And they're going to be in Cleveland. Cleveland's hungry for a win. And let me tell you, when the Browns were terrible – it was still pretty loud, at least for the first quarter in the stadium. Now that they're not and there's hope, you're going to see some big time, I think, emotion and momentum coming from just the crowd in the city of Cleveland. So I'm excited for the game this Sunday, especially because it sounds like we're all going to be inside watching football all day, all weekend anyways, because it's going to snow all day. I think it's a very winnable game. They're going to have Cincinnati the next week, which is going to be another absolute spanking. I just don't see that being close at all. And then they go to Denver, which I think is going to be probably their toughest game that's left. I think they're a beatable team. We know they just lost Emmanuel Sanders today or yesterday. Was that yesterday?
Today. Ruptured and tore his Achilles. Oh,
which you never want to see. And that's a horrible injury. And obviously everyone hopes he heals up because he's a great player and he's fun to watch. I think that's another Doug game that you can look at and go, okay, let's see what Baker has a propensity to be, because that Denver defense is good. The front four is nasty. Chubb and Von Miller, I think, are leading the league by a lot for sacks, and that's even over Clowney and Watt. So I think that's going to be a good test, but I think their offense is so bad that they're going to match up well, except for their run game with Phillip Lindsay, which is kind of the Browns' hard part right now, is that outside run game. So it's going to be really interesting to see. And I think that the game at the end of the year with Baltimore, I think they're going to win. I think Lamar Jackson is going to be playing by then. And Baltimore might say they have a great team, but they have a good defense. They have a great defense, but they have a beatable defense as well. I think they were like Baker's second or third game. And outside of not getting into the end zone, the Browns should have won that by 15 points. So it's going to be interesting. They're going to have to win a lot, but I think 7 wins is definitely going to happen. 8's going to be a hard row to hoe, but it's going to speak a lot to the future of this team, which obviously I'm very excited about. Go Browns.
Yeah, so
Urban Meyer maybe made some questionable decisions, but Ryan Day is a great coach. So
I will say one thing as we close out the Cleveland Columbus, Browns, Northeast Ohio corner. This team is different than the team last year. And I think a lot of it is you could tell in the second half of last year, if we went into the locker room down 23-0, the Browns going to the locker room down 23-0 last year, they end up losing that game 35-0, 40-0. Mm-hmm. That team lost its fight. So the fact that they came in, they fought out, kept trying to play, kept throwing the ball downfield, didn't give up, kept trying to grind it out, made a couple stops on defense. I think that was a true tell sign. Yeah, they got beat. And Houston is a superior team. Nobody's putting the Browns in the Super Bowl this year. The Texans are hitting a stride. They've won, 9 games straight. I was impressed with the second half. I think Baker came out, played hard, and the second half really improved. I was a little impressed. I was impressed in at the just how they came out and continued to fight. So I'll say that as we go into recap or previews of the playoffs in week one of the playoffs. So we're just going to go into seeding order. We're just going to start with we'll start with 1-8 and end with. And end with 5-4, if that's okay with you guys. Does that anybody have a problem with that?
Sounds good.
All right, cool. So we're going to jump right into the brothers battle, Blessem versus Deplorables. Both of these teams have some key injuries right now. So
injuries or
suspensions
on a hotel room.
So Blessem loses Kareem Hunt, which is big hit to their team this week. They are going to replace them with Jeff Wilson Jr., San Francisco. I think Kyle Shanahan runs an offense that a lot of any kind of shifty running back can be successful out of. He's also going to trust James White, who tends to be just one of the targets that Tom Brady is trusting these days. He's hitting more targets down dink and dunk than he ever has before in his career. And he's got Drew Brees and Michael Thomas going against a bad Tampa Bay defense.
They've got to score points finally. It's been 2 weeks of just nothingness.
And that defense is not going to do anything for against New Orleans. I know that they score did a little 60. Bit versus Cam, whatever. I think it's going to end up, that game's going to be a shootout. New Orleans doesn't care. They're going to want to score points. They showed a propensity to that by throwing a 40-yard touchdown on a 4th-and-7 3 weeks ago. it's going to come down. I think this one's going to come down to the wire. You guys can disagree with me or be with me if you want to, but I trust in Road Cam, so I'm putting him on my bench. I'm bringing out Phillip Rivers. And then we obviously got Todd Gurley and Alvin Kamara, so we'll see what they do coming in. Mike Evans is a little bit of a question mark in Jarvis Landry. I lost Emmanuel Sanders to a torn Achilles tendon. And then it's just going to be who do we put in the flex, whether we still trust in Austin Eckler, if we want to go Chris Carson, or if Kerryon Johnson still gets the nod against that Arizona defense. So I'm going to let one of you guys take the lead on this. Zeke, do you have any thoughts on this game?
The season has proven all year that that Tim's team prevails against Sean's team week after week for various reasons. Both opposite vortex of suck or whatever we're calling it this year. But either way, even with the injuries, your team, Tim, is deep enough to where excuse me, I got to go with your team. I do like Sean's team, but there's just too much depth for you to replace where you've lost.
Okay. Doug, what about you?
So my first question, and the thing I was surprised to see, was DJ Moore in Sean's lineup, who is likely going to get the shadow coverage from y'all's boy Denzel Ward. That's interesting.
He's concussed. He's concussed.
Yeah, Denzel Ward's probably not going to play.
Oh, probably not going to play. Okay.
Yeah, well, that opens up a whole.
That's actually thing. Why he's on there.
Okay. Yeah, and then the other one was Tim really reaching deep into the barrel at tight end this week with CJ Uzomah.
We're still working that out.
Okay.
I was going to pick up Jimmy Graham and got outbid.
Yay.
It's just not much out there.
Oh, gosh. Tight end is a barren wasteland. If you don't have any of the top three with Eric Ebron, who continues to catch touchdown after touchdown after touchdown, Travis Kelce, and and Zach Ertz. If you don't have one of those three guys, then you're just reaching to find Kittle. Kittle, you have a guy that's going to catch that they're going to continue to use, but everybody else out of those four guys, it's a barren wasteland.
My main concern is that it doesn't matter who it is, but that Tim has a player on Monday night, because what happens is I'll be winning by 20. And this has been 6 years, 7, 8 years of this. I'll be winning by 20, and Tim will have one guy who has a career night on Monday night, and he scores 21.5, and then I get beat. And it happens all the time. I'm so tired of it, and I just want it to end.
I don't think the last time we played that happened.
Yes, it did. In fact, that's exactly what happened last time we played.
No, it was two times ago. I know Mike Evans did it, but I don't know. Either way.
None of us have gone to school long enough or have enough letters behind our names to be qualified to listen to Sean talk about all the ails that have come up with these matchups over the years.
Yeah, I will say
I'm a hurt person, Zeke. I'm hurt.
The thing that worries me about this game with Blessem is Drew Brees and Michael Thomas with a stack against a terrible Tampa Bay defense that is giving up all sorts of yards in the air. Yes, I know Cam went into Tampa Bay and threw four interceptions or whatever, but Drew Brees is going to continue to throw the ball. Michael Thomas is going to continue to catch an insane amount of targets. Those guys make me nervous. I've got a couple of rough matchups. Todd Gurley in Chicago. We'll see what ends up there. In Soldier Field, Mike Evans, I just going against Marshawn Lattimore. Last time, I think he victimized him earlier in the year, but we'll still see what happens. And Adam Thielen going to the 12th man in Seattle. And then Jarvis Landry is a huge question mark for me. So I can easily see Blessing pulling this one out.
Hey, I did the math, by the way.
Hard to beat a team three times.
In our two games, you beat me by a combined total less than 8 points.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, yeah. And it was Mike Evans the first time, and it was Adam Thielen the second time, who scored a touchdown at the end of the game to win against Green Bay, and I ate it.
So, well, that's what I'm worried about. There's a lot of question marks, and it's always easier to look at the other team and think they're going to have a good one. But I like the matchups that Blessem has. I think James White continues to have good games. Anytime you're going to get nine targets out of the backfield and just get – now, I know he got 40 yards on a huge play in a play that should have been a Hail Mary. But Michael Thomas is a great matchup. And I'm interested to see what happens over there. So next we'll move on to what Biscuit in Your Pants taking on Here for the Beer. This is my game of the week. Here for the Beer has to plug some people in. Is any you guys want to take the lead on this and tell me what you think?
Yeah, you know, he made a big move today, picking up Jimmy Graham in kind of a desperation move, which I'm thankful for because it kept him out of your team. He's also got some interesting guys who are all kind of hurt. Adrian Peterson on the bench could prove to be a good flex, but he went ahead with Dalvin Cook and Lamar Miller, who I said was going to be a game changer and has been for Houston. I'm interested to see who he pops in, but I don't necessarily. I don't know. I really like Biscuit in Your Pants better. I think they have better matchups, and I don't know. I don't think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be like a 15-20 point victory for Biscuit in Your Pants.
All right.
The Rams are playing Chicago, and that's two of his biggest scores. That's my main concern.
Yeah, Zeke, Doug, do you have anything on this one?
Yeah, I'm with Sean on this one. Okay. I'm with Sean on this one. I think it's just a matchups thing. Like Goff at Chicago, that's a tricky spot. That I saw earlier, though. The over under for that game is 51.5, though, which is the second highest on the entire week. So, Vegas thinks really some high. Points. Yeah, Vegas. I actually already bet the under. Vegas thinks some points are going to be scored there. I just feel like that line will probably close at like 49 or something like that. So,
yeah. I think that's a tough game because Chicago's defense is so good. I mean, it's strength on strength, right? Chicago's the best defense, probably the best defense in the league with Khalil Mack, and then you've got the Rams who are I mean, without Cooper Kupp, are still proven to be the best offense in the league. They just continue to score points.
I think in 12 career games against the Texans, T.Y. Hilton has like 1,300 yards and 11 touchdowns in 12 games against the Texans in his career. So he just absolutely owns that team, which is big for here for the beer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. I was wondering where you were going with that. Yeah. So the Rams. So here's where I'm thinking is the difference is gonna be made. I think both of their quarterbacks, Tom Brady's in a divisional matchup at Miami. Tom Brady's been something different this year. I feel like he's still the GOAT, but, he wills his teams to win. He's got some good pieces to throw to, obviously. Rob Gronkowski's kind of been a question mark. So that's an interesting play. And also Jared Goff going to Chicago, like you said, going into Soldier Field. He has been not good on at away games this
year. And Brandon Cooks. Year.
He's been rusty when it comes to away games. I think Saquon Barkley and Keenan Allen and Travis Kelce are the difference makers in this game.
And Aaron Jones too. I mean, if Joe Philbin comes out this week and wants any chance at keeping that job, which he probably won't, but they would probably use Aaron Jones over Jamal Williams.
Just free Aaron Jones, right? I mean, continue to let him roll. Bisque in your pants. If James Conner comes back next week and they win versus here for the beer, it's going to be a dangerous play. I think either way, I think two of the most dangerous teams are going head-to-head in this matchup. So I think the rest of the league benefits from the fact of that one of these teams is leaving.
It's good to see just one of them not be here next week.
Exactly. I think that was best case for all of us that don't want to play them. Because like Sean said, Lamar Miller shooting stride. Nick Chubb has a favorable matchups minus the matchup against Baltimore. Antonio Brown's, I mean, he's matchup proof. T.Y. Hilton, the wide receivers on here for the beer are just ridiculous. So that's going to be an interesting play down the stretch. I'm going to take Biscuit in your pants to go in this one. Just because I think that he wins the quarterback matchup, and I think that's going to be the difference, along with Keenan Allen and Saquon Barkley, and like you said, Aaron Jones. I just think there's too much firepower there. I think he did a really good job with free agency, so I'm taking Biscuit in your pants on this one. So Zeke, did you get it? I don't remember if you took this one or not.
Say it again now.
I don't remember if you.
No, I didn't. But I hate to kind of say what everybody else is saying. But the one thing I will say, you were talking about Tom Brady. I mean, who's obviously the GOAT. But the one thing about him, he's not having his normal statistical season of years past. And at Miami, Patriots always seem to have a problem down there. So in terms of matchup, I don't like that matchup from the quarterback perspective.
Yeah, I'm not saying I love it. I think I brought that up. He wills his team to win. I just think he's a better choice than Jared Goff this week. Goff on the road has been less than ideal. Was kind of my point to that.
Gotcha.
So yes, and also the last time Brady was a QB1 was back in week 7. He's averaging passing yards, but he's been a QB2 since week 7. So I think that goes to stretch. But the Dolphins are also 24th in passing touchdown rate. So it's going to be interesting. So let's go. The next game we're going to do is, I'm sorry, Miss Jackson versus Ezekiel 25-17. This, I think, is the – I'm taking this as my smash of the week. Ezekiel 25-17 kind of skirted into the playoffs. Marlon Mack is kind of starting to fall apart. Tevin Coleman has been super disappointing, and Matt Breida is already out. I just don't think he has any of the pieces. Andrew Luck goes to Houston.
Bad connection. Bad matchup.
Yeah, I just don't like his team. I don't. And I mean, Doug, you've got Patrick Mahomes. We've already talked about a difference maker. He is. David Johnson's kicking you in the Johnson these days by letting somebody else score touchdowns. But I just think I think Doug's got too much in this one. What do Doug, you think?
Doug, think about it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'd say, Doug, you got a really interesting start with Gus Edwards. I think that's a risky deal. That's going to be either a huge payoff or not a payoff at all. I know the KC defense isn't big, but if Lamar Jackson's starting this game especially, that's going to be really tough for him to get a lot of the carries that he wants to get carried. But if he goes hard, he's going to go real hard. And so I think that's a really interesting move by you, and I like it. Also, the Spencer Ware play is also interesting because Baltimore's got that number one ranked defense, but he's going to get a load of carries. I'm really interested to see how KC spreads that defense out, and I hope just absolutely torches it because I've got a neighbor who's being a total D-Naz who I really want to see get wrecked. So,
I'm gonna disagree with you one thing, the Gus Edwards play. Since Lamar Jackson has played, which is three games with Gus Edwards, Gus Edwards has 17 carries, 23 carries, and 21 carries. He's got one touchdown in 3 weeks, but he's topped 100 yards. He's topped 100 yards twice already. So they're going to continue to run RPOs, and Gus Edwards is going to continue to get all of the carries. I think he's going to top 20 carries in this game. And anytime you get a guy with 20 carries or close to, I think that's somebody that you're going to start. I think that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, obviously, I would love to play someone better than him, but I don't have the options.
Yeah, I mean, it's all volume, right? Like, none of us think that Gus Edwards is an RB1 by any chance. But if you get a guy that's going to get 20 plus carries a game, you plug him in your lineup, even if it's a, like, I hate that you have to play him I don't really hate it, but you have to play him as an. You're a running back in your league. He's a great flex option, but he's getting 20 touches a game. You're going to start him every single time.
Yeah. If he gets me like 20 carries for 70, 80 yards and gets me 7-8 points, I'm fine with that. And if he happens to fall in the end zone,
that's right. Fall in the end zone. Casey's a bad defense. He falls in the end zone. You're looking at a 15, 16 point week. And that's a great play for an RB2.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that defense, because they're so weak, that they're not going to have to run the ball as much, or Lamar Jackson's going to cover that running as well. I know he's had those carries, but they played against two decent defenses to get there. So,
they've been really good at home, though. That's what worries me a little bit.
The last two defenses Gus Edwards has played has been Atlanta and Oakland. So terrible. Two of the worst defenses in the league.
And Cincinnati.
Who's even worse. So they're on a stretch.
I'm saying, and how many points did he get in those games?
A lot.
21.5, 13.8, and then 8.2 because he went 21 for 82. But again, if he falls into the end zone, if Lamar Jackson gets tackled at the 1 yard line, Gus Edwards is getting that carry into the end zone. I mean, that's a change. That's a 6 point change in a week. That's huge.
I think what's funny? The funny thing about this whole conversation is, every year at this time, you have a conversation like this about a Gus Edwards or whoever, and that's the reason why at the beginning of the season, especially in a snake draft, but you know, if you have the first four picks, you take one of the first four bell cows, you know, of the draft, unless they're Le'Veon Bell, who's an idiot, because you don't want to be, or if it's an auction draft, you spend all your money to get one of those guys, because you know at the end of the year you're going to be having this exact same conversation about whoever the Gus Edwards is of that season.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anybody thought Alex Collins was going to be a bell cow guy. He just got hurt, and Gus Edwards is able to pick up, and he meshes really well with Lamar
Jackson. Don't misunderstand. I was not talking about Alex Collins when I was using that example.
Yes. I mean, there's always a guy at the end of the year, and I think Philip Lindsay is a guy that we'll talk about in the next game that is – a guy that surprised everybody, right? I mean, just he's got to be a keeper for Bill next week.
Yeah, that was a big surprise.
Yeah, I mean, I went into the season thinking that David Johnson would be right in that same class with Zeke and Le'Veon Bell, and he's just been absolutely terrible. I way underestimated overestimated how good he would be able to be in that offense, and that's coaching. A lesson for the future.
That's what I was going to ask. Doug, do you think that's coaching, or do you think that's the player, or a combination of both?
I think a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Like, the coaching is not good.
They don't have
great quarterbacks. Like, Larry Fitzgerald is basically just like a flag football receiver at this point. Like, just run to the open and then fall down as soon as he catches it, you know, when he does catch it.
See, I think the coaching is 80% of that problem. They just don't know how to use them. They haven't used them appropriately. And that's why. And those guys, those are guys who got to get hot and have momentum and keep pushing forward. And if you can't build that, then they're going to be cold all year.
Yeah. I mean, I do think if you were to give Sean McVay this team, it would be a different story. But just your average, like, run of the mill coach, they just don't, they don't have much on offense to work with, you know?
So. Yeah, and I mean, they just lost Christian Kirk to IR, but I mean, at the beginning of the season, we all talked about how Christian Kirk was could be a game changer for this team, running outside with Larry Fitzgerald on the inside, and they didn't use him at all, and he was the best wide receiver they had.
Yeah,
and then they didn't. I mean, just hating David Johnson is not a between the tackles guy, and I think this year proved it. They need an offensive coordinator that knows what the hell he's doing. You got to get David Johnson is your most valuable asset. You've got to get him the ball in space.
Yeah.
So I think we can move on from this one. Davante Adams, start him. Stephon Diggs, Chris Godwin continues to smash without DeSean Jackson. George Kittle, you're going to start. All of Doug's players are starters in any game. And I think Ezekiel 25-17 has a lot of replaceable guys like Corey Davis and Marlon Mack.
Doug, may I say this and mean it with a full heart? I hope Stephon Diggs has a career day and scores every touchdown and catches every yard. Go Stephon Diggs.
I'm ready. Let's go Stephon Diggs.
Let's go.
Hey, you know what? I need Stephon Diggs in another league, but I need some Adam Thielen. So, all right. So let's move on to the final matchup of the playoff week, and that is hashtag trust the process taking on falling like Sean Stone. These are two teams who have been a little bit wishy-washy this year. I feel like, I know they're 7-6 and 8-5, but falling like Sean Stone took a, in Jeff House, they kind of took a lull in the middle, came back up. And then I feel like Zeke, your team a little bit too. You had to have that trip to Aspen. Interesting matchups. I feel like Tyreek Hill in Baltimore. But I mean, again, it's Kansas City's offense. Sonny Michel in your flex spot. I think your running backs are real strong. Ezekiel Elliott is obviously a start. Joe Mixon, Sonny Michel. Joe Mixon is a guy that can he can go down right away. And then Kirk Cousins in Seattle is an interesting play. Their defense has been fairly good against the pass this year, but Kirk Cousins away from home. He's been kind of like road Ben.
May he have 400 yards all to Stephon Diggs.
I'll take 400 yards, but 150 of them to Adam Thielen.
The deal with my team though is if you look at both of those quarterbacks in particular, they have both started crapping out at the same time. So there's not, you know, if you go back and look over the last 3 or 4 weeks.
You're right. You're completely right.
They both had awful weeks at the same time, and or they both had terrible matchups. So if you look at it right now, it's like, okay, Kirk Cousins at Seattle or Carson Wentz at Dallas.
At Dallas.
And so either way, you're like, man, it's, you know.
Dallas is playing hot. There's no way to win. Yeah, Dallas is playing hot. So conversely, on the other side, you've got Aaron Rodgers going for Jeff House going against a bad Atlanta defense. Can Aaron Rodgers get back on track with this team?
Just the matchup Green Bay needs.
He's also got a stack with Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who has disappeared in the last 4 weeks, 4.4, 0.8, 0.3, and 4.8. This could be a big spot for him to get back on track. Leonard Fournette against Tennessee's run defense should be an interesting spot. And then Christian McCaffrey going to Cleveland. I'm going with trust the process in this game. I think the matchups are better. I like the Austin Hooper play. I don't know why that Green Bay defense is not good. I know Hooper's been hit or miss. He's touchdown or bust. I think he gets a touchdown this week. I hate Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I just think he's falling apart. Tyler Lockett is a touchdown or bust guy. It seems he's getting a lot of touchdowns. And he's playing KC's defense against Baltimore. So what do you guys got on this one?
I'm going to take falling like Sean Stone because of the opposite of all that. I think his running backs are just have incredible matchups. And I think his wide receivers will do just enough to get by. The real question I have for Jeff, because I think it's a good play, it's really just kind of an interesting one, is the Chiefs defense at Baltimore. That's a real ballsy call, I think.
Doug, you got anything on this one?
Yeah, for me, I mean, well, one question for Zeke. Like, do you feel better about Jameis Winston than Cousins, or is that too risky?
That was my thought.
You know, I have not finished, obviously, for the week, before it starts. I've thought about looking at the quarterback situation that's out on the free agent wire. In fact, I've got it pulled up in a separate tab right now, and you look at it. And Jameis Winston, I haven't paid enough attention to him, to the fighting alarm clocks. I guess there are some quarterbacks out there. I need to make some decisions, but either way, you know, I don't know if y'all ever get into this situation when you're looking at your fantasy team and you see somebody hit a skid and you're like, okay, well, it's 1 week, it's a bad matchup, and then it's 2 weeks, turns to 3 weeks, and you're like, okay, you know, do I need to pull the plug or whatever? Well, we're in the playoffs now, so I do need to make some type of decision. So that's why I've been sitting on these guys for the last couple of weeks and not really making a move, because I'm thinking, oh, they'll make the turn at some point.
Yeah.
And nobody's done it yet.
Well, you just got to hope that your boy goes from last week being Ty Fluke Hill to this week being Ty Freak Hill.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, and that's the thing. My whole season has really rested on those position players, you know, the running backs and the wide receivers. And looking at House's team, I mean, I think it all really rests on McCaffrey and Fournette, because, you know, he's got the wide receivers that can kind of go in and out. But if McCaffrey, who has been prone to do so, especially over the last couple of weeks, if he you know, strikes it hot, and then Fournette, then it's, you know, strike up the band. It's over at that point.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'm circling is, like I said earlier, if you look at 1, 2, 3, his four bottom players minus Adam Vinatieri, I don't like any of those plays. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Jordan Reed, Doug Martin, and the Chiefs defense. I don't like any of those plays. Doug Martin is a guy that I feel like he's in a spot where he could get handed the ball, tackled in the backfield for minus 1 yard, and fumble, and then get taken out of the game. And they give the ball to Jalen Richard or something like that. I feel like if he could get injured or anything, that's the guy that's going to happen, and that's the team that's going to happen too. And, of course, it's Pittsburgh, so Pittsburgh gets all the luck. I just don't like any of those. So if you look over, conversely, the other side, you've got Juju Smith-Schuster going against Oakland, Austin Hooper, Sony Michel, who's an RB2 with Rex Burkhead coming back, and a Saints defense that has been playing better. I'm interested in the Saints defense, because Tampa Bay could either blow this up, Tampa Bay's offense could blow this up, or they could throw 16 interceptions, because that's what Jameis Winston does, right? So that's the interesting point too. If you're looking on the quarterback wire and you go get Jameis Winston, now you've got him. You're playing him against your defense. So every time they score, you're now negative. So that's something to think about as you go into this week. That's why I like trust the process in this game. I like the continuity all the way down. I think you have better starters all the way down, and he's got guys that I feel like you can go pick up on the waivers in a lot of leagues. So I'm going with trust the process here.
Zeke, if one you were really, to go pick up Colin Kaepernick.
There you go.
One thing to look out for is for if Melvin Gordon happens to play this week, which I don't think he will, but that
he's already not practiced today.
Yeah, that could. Yeah, the real telling thing will be, does he practice on Friday?
They're already in the playoff. This if they play Melvin Gordon and he is not 100%, that is the dumbest thing they could possibly do.
Well, against they did it 2 weeks ago.
I know. But against a bad defense that you know you're going to beat this team, because you've got Phillip Rivers and some of the best wide receivers that money can buy, and then you've got a backfield that you can split time with against a really bad team. There, if they play Melvin Gordon this week, it's the dumbest thing. Give your guy your rest. Let him go into the – you're going to make the playoffs. Play him only if you need him. You don't need him this week. You don't. So if you're the Chargers, if you're – I mean, I think if you're Jeff House going into the next week, I think you kind of have to root for Melvin Gordon not to play because he's not going to be 100%. He's got one. He's got two injured knees. So
well, yeah, there it is.
So that's my take on it. But that's all we got for you guys this week. Any parting takes from anybody?
None from me.
None from you.
I just want to say if you're in the yeah, it is. If you're in the way of this snowstorm, get ready because it's apparently going to be lots of fun. So, Doug, I know you're south of 85, so enjoy your rain. We're going to get about 6 inches up here. So
you can have it. I got work to do. So, anyhow, thanks a lot
for joining
us. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at TLOOG1, at TLOOG1 on Twitter. Interact with us. Send us questions. Give us anything you got, any kind of improvements. Zeke, why don't you give me a Twitter plug for Sean and Doug's madness? That'll sure for sure happen this weekend.
Sean already gave you a little bit of preview this week earlier in the podcast, but big game for the Browns. So you know Sean's going to be out there. Doug, if he's like me, he's got Sean on those mobile notifications, so you see him as soon as they pop up, so he can come in and tell Sean where he's statistically wrong and things like that. So Sunday, Browns, Doug, Sean, Twitter, be there.
The best thing about following Sean is all the fun likes. Browns banter. The worst thing about following Sean is when you scroll through your Twitter feed after any Browns win.
Yes.
It's nothing but like Sean Guida liked insert Browns Homer Twitter account. Sean yes. Guida liked insert Browns Homer Twitter account.
The OBR or anything else. So, yes. So thanks a lot for joining us, guys. Hit us, like I said, hit us up on Twitter, rate us 5 stars, share us, retweet us, do whatever we got. Just get us out there. Let's see if we can get some more followers, get some more listeners. We enjoy doing this every Wednesday night. We hope you enjoy listening to us leading up into your games on Sunday. But thanks a lot. Have a great night. Peace out.
See ya.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.